This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hit my music.
You're listening to Music of the Mat on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Music of the Mat, the podcast devoted exclusively to the music of professional wrestling. It's all part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I'm the Barbarian, Andrew Rich. Joining me, as always, on this Muscular Mystery Tour is my good friend and partner, the Score Lord, Chris Maffei. And together we are your hosts, the Power Chords of Pain. Chris, how you doing, my friend?
Listen, it was all a dream. I used to read After magazines. Now I convene with Andrew Rich to talk about themes. It ain't nothing but a theme thing, baby.
Today we are doing hip-hop themes. Episode 11, we're focusing on the genre of hip-hop wrestling themes. For those of you who are curious, Chris is very much the hip-hop head of our group here. But that does not mean that I am without rhythm and melody and soul or funky beats. Without further ado, Tomko, give me a beat.
Yes.
My name is Andrew, and I'm here to say it's time to podcast in a hip-hop way. Fun is the goal. Let's have a good time. Sit right back as I continue my rhyme. Hip-hop themes coming down the wire, moving and grooving as they spit hot fire. So many to pick, so many to choose. Jack Evans, R-Truth, or PN News. But we're not alone. We got some aid. If this were the Nexus, he'd be Wade. He's the captain of the flagship, the man behind the curtain. A hip-hop fan? Of that you can be certain. He's a real nice guy, but don't call him cheap. His secret sass will cut you deep. He's the man in charge, a selfless Triple H. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rich Craich. Rich, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Thank you. I've been very excited about getting on this podcast. I know I love all my children all the same, of course, all my podcast children, but I do like you guys a little bit more than the rest of our podcast children because you've become my go-to, because you're good for like weekend stuff, like if because it's not time sensitive. So I let these pile up, unfortunately. So there'll be like four or five of your guys' episodes, and I'm just like, all right, gotta like mow the lawn and do all this sort of stuff, and I just put it on. Or road trips. You guys are very good for road trips as well. So I'm honored to be on this show. I'm just very excited, and now I'm a little upset that I won't be able to listen to the show because I don't want to hear my own voice. But now I got to find something else to mow my damn lawn to this weekend. So we'll figure it out. But thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Yeah, it's we're talking about hip hop themes today. And I just want to say how appropriate it is that three goofy white guys all can congregate together.
I speak for yourself. Speak for yourself here.
Yeah.
I mean, not the white part. I'm definitely white. But goofy, come on. That's come
three
on.
Nerdy wrestling fan white guys.
I'm quarter Cherokee Indian, goddammit.
Oh, all right.
That's got cred, right? Some cred.
Maybe a little, maybe a little. Yeah, admittedly, as the white nerdy Jewish kid here, probably the least funky, naturally speaking, of the group. And admittedly, hip-hop, not one of my strong areas of musical expertise. I'm not really a big fan of the genre. That said, I'm not averse to hip-hop. I'm not against it in any way. Nor am I completely unknowledgeable about it. I know some things. I've got, you know, some hip-hop songs in my music collection. It's just that, you know, my taste...
Tone Loc.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Tone Loc, Beastie Boys, you know...
Ski-lo,
I got Eminem, you know, I got a bunch of different stuff in there. You know, a lot of good guys in there. It's just, you know, my tastes skewer more towards the rock and roll side of music. You know, rock, metal, classic rock, new wave, that kind of stuff. So there's like a base level of hip-hop knowledge and enjoyment that I have. I haven't moved beyond that. So if I can put it into like wrestling terms... It's not like I'm Jim Cornette in Beyond the Mat. You know, I have never seen that before.
I'm stealing it.
It's more like I'm Michael Modest in Beyond the Mat. You know, you get some a little more flattened for you, a little mass in the upper arms, you'll get in the hunt, you know? So it's kind of like that. It's like I've got a general sense, but I haven't moved above that. That's where I stand. Rich, I know you're a big hip-hop fan, as are you, Chris.
Me getting into hip-hop kind of coincided with me getting into wrestling, so there's kind of a parallel there. And, of course, over the years, my taste in wrestling has changed, my taste in hip-hop has changed. But, you know, in general, I'm really into stuff like Wu-Tang Clan, M.O.P., Bone Thugs and Harmony, Big L, you know, a lot of East Coast underground stuff, Nas, stuff like that. Mm. Over the years, I've listened to a lot less and less hip-hop. I don't know, it's just a thing getting older, it just kind of appeals a little bit to me less. I feel a little bit less rebellious, I feel a little bit less in tune with the whole thing. But I do still have a soft spot for it in my heart, and of course, hip-hop wrestling themes, they always make for a great environment whenever you're at a wrestling show. So hip-hop's something very near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, as far as my background in hip-hop, I mean, it, almost from the first time I really got into music as a child by myself, it was like hip-hop, for whatever reason, I was gravitated to. I remember turning on MTV and seeing like Busta Rhymes and Coolio. It was like the first two music videos. I like sat down and was like, whoa, this is awesome. And like, so for whatever reason, I was always like big into hip-hop, even as a kid. And I think my parents were big into like funk and disco and that sort of stuff. So I grew up listening to a lot of that. So I think I was kind of predisposed a little bit to enjoying less of like the rock that was good at the time. And I still do enjoy like, you know, 90s alternative rock and that sort of stuff. But for whatever reason, I gravitated way more towards hip-hop. So 90s, it was all about obviously Biggie and Tupac for most of it. But I was also into like kind of the soulful stuff, and I still am, and that's really kind of the what I would, you know, constitute my hip-hop love still these days is, you know, your Pete Rock, CL Smooth type stuff. As I got a little bit older into the 2000s, like Little Brother, anything that Ninth Wonder produced, I was way into. Pete Rock I stuck with. Producers like a Black Milk or whatever, kind of the whole Detroit rap scene, Apollo Brown, like those sort of guys are the ones I've always really gravitated to, more so than like the gangster rap and that sort of stuff. I liked it a little bit, you know, growing up, but as I got older and as I've always kind of went more towards the soulful sample based hip hop, though I do like a nice, you know, hard song here and there. But yeah, like guys like Nas, like Chris mentioned, are still up there. But yeah, as far as like modern, I don't listen to a ton anymore. I mean, obviously still a big fan of like Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole is pretty solid and guys like that. But I'm finding less and less by the year that like way less like new guys that come out. Like I just don't get attracted to them in the same way that I was as a kid or even in the early 2000s where I really consider myself the biggest hip hop fan, where it's just like just consuming the stuff like crazy, you know, Talib Kweli, Mos Def, you know, those sort of guys I was just way into. And then, you know, little by little as the years have gone on, it's become a little bit less. But I've always had a soft spot, as Chris mentioned, for hip hop in wrestling because I think they just match so well with certain characters and certain promotions and certain eras as well. And you'll kind of see that from the songs we selected.
Yeah, we've got a nice little mix here of, you know, WWE stuff. We got some independent stuff, a little bit from Japan. So we've got a nice mix of an example of how, you know, hip hop is in wrestling, not just in one location, one era, one, you know, company. It's all over. Like a lot of genres are, you know, metal is in all over and, you know, just standard rock and roll and that kind of stuff. So it's nice to see the variety of acts and the variety of sources where we get these hip-hop themes from. And I guess we'll start this little journey here with Ring of Honor. And this is the theme song that Homicide uses, the notorious 187 Homicide. this is a track by... I'm sorry, I can't help it. This is a track by a guy named Beanie Siegel, and this is off of his 2000 album, The Truth, and this is the title track, The Truth. Something to discuss here with this song, and you know, it's true for a lot of different companies and stuff, the rise of commercial songs in the independent scene in the 2000s. You've got companies like Ring of Honor, CZW, IWA Mid-South, PWG, etc., etc. They're not beholden, at least at the time, to those, you know, copyright legalities. So wrestlers could come out to any song they wanted to without fear of it being overdubbed or replaced or cut out. And, you know, Homicide's use of The Truth is, you know, a prominent example of this. And Rich, you went to Ring of Honor shows a lot. I'm sure you heard this song quite a bit.
Yeah, I think one of the big reasons I wanted to choose this song for a lot of ways is, you know, the first Ring of Honor show I went to, I forget exactly what year it was, but one of the first guys I saw come out was Homicide. And you know, growing up and not going to independent shows and only going to, you know, WWF shows and stuff, you know, you're used to that, the WWF music, Jim Johnston style of wrestling music or whatever. So I walk in and this is just blaring on the speakers, the song that I already knew about and loved or whatever. And I'm like, holy crap, what is going on here? Like, you know, I don't know what I thought in my head of what their themes were going to be, or even, I don't know if I even wrapped my head around it. And then I'm just hearing this booming, awesome song over the loudspeakers. I'm like, hell yeah, this is great. This is awesome. And one of the reasons I wanted to pick this song in particular is, as you hear the beat come go by, it is the perfect song for Homicide and the perfect song for Ring of Honor as well. Because what's the best thing to do at a Ring of Honor show? If you're front row, it is slapping that damn,
yeah,
you know, slapping that barricade or whatever. And there is no better song in the world to slap a barricade to than this song. And I think that's one of the big reasons why it just worked. And it you know, when you watch a big time match with Homicide, like the CZW Cage of Death, or, you know, the Ring of Honor CZW Cage of Death, or any of Homicide's big title wins or title defenses or whatever, when the crowd is into him and into him coming out, and they are banging the barricade to the beat of this song, like, there is just no other experience like it. It's just perfect.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and you mentioned slapping the ROH signs on the guardrails. When I think of this song, or I think of Homicide and ROH, that's like the first...
It's synonymous. Yeah,
yeah. It's my first memory of it, because in high school, I became friends with this kid who had... He bought, like, every ROH show on DVD, so he was showing me a bunch of stuff. And one of the things that stuck with me very early on was Homicide and this entrance and the cool intro that we're going to talk about to the song, and just the fact that he was coming out to a Beanie Siegel song in general. And it was just, I was instantly drawn to it. And, you know, when I first started following ROH, CM Punk, Homicide, guys like that, I was like, wow, this is so different from anything that I've been seeing in WWE at the time. And the theme was just so different, like Ritz said.
Yeah, it's a simple hip hop beat. It's that, those overriding two keyboards, bam, 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 but nothing fancy about it. It's a sample, actually, of a song by Graham Nash called Chicago.
So your brother's bound and gagged, and they've chained him to a chair. Won't you please come to Chicago just to see?
And underneath, it's like a little piano riff, ba-doom, ba-doom, boom. And in itself, is it's cool, it's hip, it's something great to, you know, slap the barricades along with as the Homicide comes to the ring. But like you said, Chris, that intro, the Ironside intro, which is from the TV show Ironside with Raymond Burr. Also, most people know it from Kill Bill Volume 1. Most famously, when Quentin Tarantino used that one for Kill Bill Volume 1 a lot. It's, in my opinion, this is Homicide's version of the Stone Cold Glass Shatter.
Ah.
It adds so much to it. It does three things, in my opinion. Number one, it separates Homicide's theme from other wrestlers' hip-hop themes. Like, if you're just getting into Ring of Honor around this time, you don't really know one hip-hop theme from another, you don't really know one wrestler from another. This lets you know that, boop, boop, boop. This lets you know, okay, this is Homicide, he's coming out, this is his song. Number two, I think the keyboard riff is good, but it doesn't really have that concussive punch for an intro that I think is really fitting for, like, a big intro for Homicide, and that this intro, the Ironside, gives it that nice little iconic start. And number three, you know, to follow up with that, it creates the opportunity for a big moment music hit. With Austin, the glass shatters, holy shit, Austin's coming, big moment's coming out now. Homicide, this intro hits, holy shit, here comes Homicide, big moment. Prime example, I think, right off the bat, Cage of Death. Homicide coming back at Cage of Death, saving Ring of Honor, fighting the bad guys from CCW, you know, like, holy fuck, here comes Homicide to save the day. That's what a great intro to a song can do. And that's what I think the Ironside intro does for Homicide's theme perfectly.
So this track was produced by Kanye West back when he was a producer for Rockefeller Records. One of the more understated beats from early Kanye, I would say.
Really, yeah.
Really just a straightforward beat with just a classic sample. Makes you want to, you know, makes you want to nod your head. No high-pitched vocals, no anything like that. No big, you know, vocal sample hook or anything like that. It's just a classic sample that has been sampled many times, many times. Notably, Gangsta Nation by West Side Connection. I don't know if you remember that track, Rich.
I do, yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah, same sample there. Yeah, it is a really understated Kanye song, because it wasn't, you know, maybe even one or two years later, Kanye's production quality is completely different. Like, he's then integrated a lot more instruments.
You
can tell this time he's just kind of finding his footing. And like Andrew said, it's basically just, like, a little bit of keyboard, a little bit of sample, and that's it. Like, boom, 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 done. And that's it. For Beanie Siegel, though, it does work. So it does work within the confines of the song if you hear, you know, Beanie Siegel and a lot of what Rockefeller was at that time. But yeah, it's like when I first found out it was Kanye West, because I had no idea. I went almost half my life not knowing this is Kanye West, because I don't know that you would, there was any tip off that it would be Kanye West that made this beat. Because there's just, there's nothing of what you're used to of College Dropout era Kanye West, or even, you know, today's Kanye West. There's nothing of that. This could have been some dude in his college dorm room making this beat. I mean, there's nothing, you know, intricate about it or anything. So it is a little interesting there, because yeah, it's hard to believe that it is a Kanye West beat. But when you realize, you know, it's one of his first commercial ones in the first one he ever did for Rockefeller, it makes a little bit more sense, because he's still a little baby in the game, you know, starting to kind of rise up a little bit.
Yeah, and it's an awesome beat too. That's not to say it's not.
Yeah, it works. No, it absolutely works.
It's just very different from what you're accustomed to when you think of, you know, early era Kanye. You think of the high-pitched vocal samples, you think of Through the Wire, that type of stuff. So this sample, I said it's been used a number of times, you know, in various hip-hop songs. Homicide also, after this, came out to a song called You're Not Ready by G-Unit, which was an early mixtape track that used the instrumental from this song, The Truth.
You say you're ready, you're not ready, we don't shoot no one-on-one.
He really, really kind of liked sticking with this theme, kind of sticking with the song, even when he changed to another song. Still had the same instrumental on it. And I think it fits. It fits the way he walks to the ring. It's got that nice tempo for him. I really think this makes an awesome theme song.
Yeah, it's not the theme that I personally associate with Homicide the most. Because for me, it's the LAX themes and TNA, which are also hip-hop. And I love those themes a lot. You know, you think of Ring of Honor Homicide, this is the one I think of right off the bat. And it's easy to see why, with the iconic intro, the entrance, he's walking down to the ring with the strut he got. So yeah, it's nice pick for Homicide to have this song, I think. So we move now from Ring of Honor to WWE, and we move now from Homicide to John Cena. That's right, before he was the champ, he was the Doctor of Thugonomics. And this is a track he did, this was his entrance theme before My Time Is Now. This was released on the 2004 album WWE Originals. This is by John Cena featuring The Trademark, and this is Basic Thugonomics.
So, you think you're untouchable?
Word life, this is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life, I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life, this is basic thugonomics. Word life, I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me.
Whether fighting or spitting, my discipline is unforgiving. Got you backing up in a defensive position. An ass-kicking anthem, heavyweight or bantam.
Now, this one takes me back.
Yeah.
I haven't heard this thing in so long. It's, let's think about it. It's been like 12 years.
Oh, God.
Of do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do. I haven't heard the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. So, you think you're untouchable. Man, think how long ago it was that John Cena was rapping, you know, Vanilla Ice ripoff, Doctor of Thugonomics, Word Life, Chain Gang, Backwards Cap. It's been so long ago.
It's almost comical, too. If you go back and watch any of these, like, era John Cena, it's like, I love this era John Cena, and I love this theme, and we'll talk a little bit about it. But, you know, if you go back on WWE Network and you watch any, like, 2004 show or 2003 show, it's, like, really cringy when John Cena comes out, and he's like, yo, 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 and you're like, oh, God. Like, just knowing what he actually is and knowing what, like, deep down John Cena is, just hearing him be like, hey, yo, yo, and it's just, like, it's so much like a B-Rad from Malibu type thing where you're just like, oh, boy, like, it's really cute, but, like, man, it just doesn't age well. But, you know, if I put myself back in that frame of mind, I mean, this guy was the shit from 2003 to 2000. I mean, like, I don't care what, you know, it aged at that time.
Oh, yeah.
You can't tell me that this guy wasn't just the fucking best. Like, it was just incredible.
I was in high school at the time, and it's like, he would have been the coolest person in my school.
Oh, he
it's
spoke
like,
to me. Yeah, exactly.
This guy was like, this was it. Like, it was as cheesy as it was, and as, like,
yeah.
You look back and just, oh, it's so cringe now. It was authentic at the time. time. It felt
quadruple X throwback. Yeah. Like, you know, at the time, I'm like, whoa, look at that Wes Unseld jersey. And now I'm like, yeah, that looks really weird. Why is it so big?
Pumping up the Jordans in it for the right, FU, right. You know?
The Reebok pumps, which I looked everywhere for.
Jordans, Reebok, same difference to me. I don't really care, but good times with this thing. And, you know, basic Thuganomics, it goes with the character. Obviously, he's a rapper, hip-hop theme, obviously. And he raps his own theme, or at least, you know, the chorus in the first verse of it. Because we've got John Cena and the Trademark, who is his cousin from Peabody. Yeah, I mean, it's been so long since I've heard this. You know, memories flooding back. Regardless of what we thought about, I think, the character, I think, as a rapper, I think John Cena is pretty good. I mean, he may not have written his own stuff, but he can rhyme with the best of them, I think.
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, he sounds pretty awesome here, especially in comparison to My Time Is Now. Which he just kind of sounds a little bit more laid back and maybe a little bit more lazy. Mm-hmm. His energy and his tone here and his cadence. I mean, you could tell he's younger right off the bat. And his, you know, he brings it. He knows that he's kind of been primed for a big spot here, and he's getting the chance to do his own entrance music, and he has this cool gimmick that he can kind of grow into, and he delivers. I think, you know, the lyrics. Kind of lame.
Yeah.
Kind of lame. But not terrible, but kind of lame. But like his cadence and the way he approaches it, I think, is what makes this all work here. But as good as Cena is here, I think Trademark is by far much better. You know, his flow, his patterns, they're more interesting. He makes this sound like an actual track rather than just wrestling entrance music. You know, with Cena, you get the sense that this is just a guy's entrance music, which is perfectly fine. You know, and maybe Trademark is even doing a little bit too much here. Maybe just trying to get a little bit too much in. But I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan as well. I mean, the lyrics, yeah, the lyrics definitely don't age very well.
Yeah.
There's a few that I'm sure we're going to talk about here in a moment. But yeah, listening back, I was like, ooh, boy. But, you know, hey, whatever. It sounds
yeah, yeah.
It is what it is. But yeah, no, at the time, like, I'm right with you, Chris. I think, like, as a rapper, like, people always kind of laughed at John Cena, you know, when the album came out, the full album. But, like, I always defended him as, like, yeah, maybe the lyrics aren't great. But, like, from a flow standpoint, he's pretty damn good. Like, he's better than your run-of-the-mill, you know, just bottom-barrel rapper. Like, he's not good. I mean, I'm not going to say he's, like, one of the better, you know.
Yeah.
But his flow is really good. And when you hear him in, like, actual songs as well, like, the one that I always remember is his guest spot on Hustle.
Yes, Merce.
It's a Merce song. Like, he does the last verse on that song, and it's like the lyrics again, like, are a little cheesy or whatever, you know. He has to throw Smackdown in there and like mention wrestling moves and whatnot, but from a flow standpoint, I mean, he's flowing over like an actual beat, you know. He's working after like Murs and E-40 in the song, and like he hangs with them. Like, if you didn't know that this was John Cena the rapper, you'd be like, hey, that guy's pretty good. Like, he's not great, but he's okay. And I always thought, you know, people didn't give Cena enough credit for just being an okay rapper, which is not that easy to do. It's very, very difficult.
Yeah, you can tell he's trying. You can tell he's really putting himself into the song. Lyrically, when you've got something like, you know, an ass-kicking anthem, heavyweight or bantam, holding camps for ransom, the microphone phantom, he puts himself into it, you know, an ass-kicking anthem, heavyweight or bantam. You know, he puts the energy and aggression into it. It only goes so far, of course, you know, energy and aggression when you've got, you know, New Dead Man Inc. and we about to make you famous, taking over Earth and still kicking in Uranus.
Yeah, that's, as that being his punchline was,
That goes into the hook.
Right.
That's the last John Cena verse, you know, into the hook, because the Trademark has the second verse. So, you know, it's not perfect. It's not award worthy, I think, in any sense of the imagination. But you can, as I said, he's trying. He's putting himself in there, he's giving it his all.
You know, we talk about Cena's lyrics here, but there are some Trademark lines in here.
Oh, yeah.
That I would like to just point out. We be untouchable like righteous sluts with no crevices. What on earth is this man talking about? Yo, cats couldn't come this hot if they got jerked off in the summer heat. Did he know that this is going to be a wrestling theme? There's just something about what Trademark is doing here that I feel like he was just going a tad too far. They actually had to reverse that one part.
Oh, there are some reverse lyrics here.
I do feel that he got a little bit overzealous here. You know, but that's not to say that he blew it, because he would later come back for a verse on My Time Is Now. So, I mean, all is well with Trademark. And he's no stranger to wrestling themes himself. He did Kurt Angle's TNA themes as well.
Gold medal, that's right, yeah. Also, showing up at TNA Hard Justice 2007 as Karen Angle's new boyfriend.
Oh, my God.
Remember that?
Wow.
Remember when Trademark showed up and, like, It was like, oh, that's Karen Angle's new boyfriend, you know, but it's like, oh, it was a swerve. He was with Kurt Angle the entire trademark, of course, not long for the wrestling game, but, you know, his contributions, this song, Kurt Angle's theme, yeah, he's made his mark.
Yeah.
He's made his trademark, if you
will. Oh, hey, there you go. And I believe he's now in the Peace Corps as well, so good on him.
Oh, good for him. Good for him. One more thing, WWE Originals.
When are you guys doing that episode?
We will certainly cover that album at one point.
We got to wait a little bit now, but yeah, we will definitely get to that.
If you want to hear the Dudley Boys and Kurt Angle, quote unquote, singing, among others, wait for
Trish Stratus. Trish is just the worst.
Rikishi.
It's like, I can't sing, guys. And they're like, no, get out there. You're good. Like, I'm not.
Chase Keebler, yeah. Oh, Booker T. Yeah, that's it, man. Can you dig it? Oh, we'll get to that. Speaking of hip-hop, we'll get to that later.
I do, before we move on, I do want to touch on the production here. I love this beat. And when I hear this beat, I just instantly think that it would be great to just throw on for like a cypher or like Freestyle Fridays on Rap City on BET. Like, it has that type of vibe to it. You just throw it on, have a bunch of guys freestyle over it. And you got some cool scratches in the chorus done by DJ Chaos. Mm. And the vocal sample, I'm Untouchable, But I'm Forcing You to Feel Me, that is the rapper Esoteric of 7L and Esoteric, Army of the Pharaohs, Czarface. And he's actually Cena's friend from Boston, longtime friend.
Yeah.
And he's collaborated with Cena in the past. He did a track called Beantown on the You Can't See Me album. Interesting to note here, in my research, I found out that Cena even used some Esoteric verses on TV.
Look at that.
During the early days of the gimmick.
I saw that too, yeah.
Which then led to Esoteric writing rhymes for Cena, in particular a verse on The Undertaker. So that just kind of blows my mind. It's like, wow, Esoteric was writing verses about The Undertaker that John Cena used on TV in like 2005. Just blows my mind. But no, great production here. Has a good kind of gritty underground indie hip hop vibe that was appropriate for this iteration of Cena's character at the time. But he did outgrow this sound though, obviously. So that's why he has the theme he has now.
Yeah.
That has turned into a meme that nobody will ever escape, and it will be probably the last thing that we all hear before we die as a civilization.
Yeah, I was trying to think the other day. I was with a buddy at a wrestling show a few months ago, and we heard that song come up or whatever, because Cena was coming out, and I was like, I wonder how many times in my life that I've heard this song. Like honestly, like your average wrestling fan, like think of it, of how many times you've probably heard that.
Ugh.
Like, not even if you've watched like just the pay-per-views, you've heard it like how many times over the last like 12 years? And like, if you watch Raws or SmackDowns or go to a, for God's sakes, if you go to a show, like, and you stay for the dark match or whatever, that song will play 9 times as you're leaving the arena. Cause like Cena just got, you know, he lost in the main event or something happened or whatever. The dark match comes, he does, you know, yeah, used to everybody or what, you know, AA's to everybody. And then they just play that song while he like slaps hands with every single person in the arena. And you're like, oh my God, just stop. Like, just in our brains. Like, we just cannot escape it ever.
I don't know how he's not just so fucking sick of this song. Like, to me, I would go crazy and just create something new just to not have to hear this song ever again.
I was thinking about Shawn Michaels getting that way, yeah, too, with, like, Sexy Boy, where he's just like, God damn it. Like, all right, whatever.
I'm 51, for God's sake, stop it.
Yeah, just please give me something
else. All right, we go now from 2003 to 2005 WWE to 2000 WWF. This is released off the album WWF Aggression. This was the theme for DX. This is Run DMC with The Kings. WWF Aggression. We'll talk about that in a future episode. Rich, did you have this album by any chance?
Oh, God, yes. Are you kidding? Like, I was day one, I had to buy this thing. It was the blend of, like, so it's like 2000s, which, you know, is perfect time for me, and a blend of, like, hip hop and wrestling in the year 2000. Like, I'm sure I put it on and played, like, WCW or WWF WrestleMania 2000 for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. So, no, I absolutely, it was like a day one purchase for me. I absolutely had to have this.
Yeah, me too. When this thing came out, this was it. I mean,
oh, yeah.
My cousin who got me into wrestling, I've mentioned on prior episodes, he was also the one getting me into hip hop at the time. So this was like the perfect cross-section of just everything that I was super into that year. And wow, I listen back on it now and there's maybe two tracks that I can even stand to listen to. That album has not...
It's not aged well.
No. But that said, I cannot wait to do an entire episode dedicated to it because, man, oh man, will that be a lot of fun.
Well, we've covered it already with a little bit with Mino.
True.
And The Undertaker.
Very true.
We've got Kane, we've got Mankind, we've got Triple H, we've got a whole slew of tracks to get to. But this is track number one off the album, The Kings by Run DMC. Run DMC, hip hop legends. I'm a fan of them. I know the hits. I don't know deep into their stuff, but so for them to, you know, put their stamp on a DX theme, I think is pretty damn cool. And I like this song a lot. It copies, of course, the Break It Down by the DX Band, the main DX theme. But I think you've got Run DMC, you've got Jam Master Jay in there, you know, putting their spin on it, putting their, you know, lyrics on it. I think it makes for a great tune.
Yeah, I was a huge fan of it when it came out, and I still really am. I think. It just works within the confines, because I love the sample of obviously using the original DX theme, and it doesn't veer, you know, totally far off from that, but it gets it enough where it feels a little bit like a different song. Like, if you heard the DX song 1,000 times and then heard this song, it would seem new and fresh and original enough, because Run DMC put, like you said, put their stamp on it and make it a little bit different. But I always really love this, and I think the beginning, like, again, like I think that's super important about a lot of these hip-hop themes is these first few seconds are so big. And I think for this one, they just do a great job of you know that it's DX from a second, but then you know it's a little bit different than the normal DX one. Like, it's got the same little, like, the dinna, you know, it's got that same thing, but you know just from the first second, because then it's like a quick little cut, it's a quick little hit, and you're like, well, this is different than the other one, and then they just go. It just goes right away, and I think that's my favorite part about this song, is it really works for DX in that sense, where it's just it's driving the entire time, it's going, it's high energy, it's all that sort of stuff. The problem is it's like synonymous with like the worst version of DX,
yeah.
Which kind of sucks, because like if this was like X-Pac, like X-Pac should have come out to this, like this destroys the old X-Pac theme, which I enjoy the old X-Pac theme, but you know this one, like it just works so well, and it's just a shame that it really didn't get used a whole lot by them.
No,
and it got used by like the worst era of DX as well, which is kind of sucks.
This is March to July 2000, which is, you know, smack dab in the middle of the McMahon-Helmsley regime era of DX, which is Triple H, Stephanie, X-Pac, Road Dogg, and Tori, and Billy Gunn, who was injured, so he kind of left, you know, when he was injured. So definitely not the heyday of DX as a unit. It was more like Triple H, the champion, being the main focus, and, you know, a bunch of his flunkies, as opposed to, you know, 98, 99 DX, which is more like, you know, the whole group as a whole unit together.
Right, yeah.
So it's kind of a little sad that this big Run DMC song, which is great and it's driving and it's funky as all hell, it was used for this weaker era of DX as a group, and it wasn't, you know, there for that long. But I noticed this kind of, I don't know if you guys did as well, taking a look at the lyrics, I think it's quite appropriate, because to me, this seems like a sequel in a way to Run DMC song King of Rock. Because it starts out, the lyrics start out, the King of Rock who? The King of Rock what? The King of Rock who? The King of Rock what? It's kind of like Run DMC are on the downward slope of their careers. And they need to remind people, you know, we're the Kings of Rock. You know, that's the main focus of the song. That's the hook of the song. And it seems like this sort of correlation between Run DMC sort of, you know, having to, I guess, you know, find themselves in this latter part of their career, and DX as in the latter part of its career as well. Because, you know, at this time, Raising Hell is 14 years ago. This isn't prime Run DMC, top of their game, Walk This Way. This is Run DMC, you know, sort of being put on the back burner, as you will. Hip-hop legends, of course, but they're not really the driving focus of the hip-hop scene anymore. So it's kind of appropriate that Run DMC, D-Generation X, sort of similar, you know, states of being at this time, I think. Do you agree?
That's a very astute observation there. I like that little correlation. However, I do find Run DMC and DX to just be an awkward fit, especially like you guys mentioned, this DX, you know. I don't even think of Triple H and Jam Master Jay as even having existed in the same universe, let alone being, you know, doing the themes. I don't know. You know, Run DMC to me, I've always just found them annoying. And I'm sorry, but every song is just them yelling about being the King of Rock. It's like, all right, I got it the first time, and now you're yelling at me in every other song about it. It doesn't work for me. I don't like Run DMC, but I do like this song. That said, I've spent the last 17 years not knowing what the fuck was being said in this song, and I think I'd like to go back to that, because just kind of reading through these lyrics, I don't even know what to make of this. One of the songs in the Aggression album that has very little to do with the subject, except for the one line where they mention D-Generation X. The rest of this just kind of, they're talking about R. Kelly, then they're talking about winning Grammys, then they're talking about
selling jammies,
sample laws.
Yeah.
they're talking about getting samples cleared, and then not using samples, and then having
D-Generation X coming to your town. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, the DX thing is certainly tacked on, it seems. Except for, like, D-Generation. You can take that out. It just comes up with a regular song, with the DX song as the sample. So if you took DX out of it, it really wouldn't make any difference. You could put this on a Run DMC album.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, yeah.
Yeah, and just, like, leave us alone and not yell at us about being the king of rock 70,000 times.
Chris, I do agree with your Run DMC hot take as well. Like, I've never really enjoyed them as, like, a... Like, this I like because it's kind of in your face and loud and boisterous or whatever, so I think it works as a wrestling theme, but yeah, the reason that it works as a wrestling theme is because it's as annoying as hell as, like, an actual song. So, like, I couldn't actually... Yeah, I'm never a big Run DMC, like, actual song fan. I know their, like, rhyme pattern and their flow is, like, very much like early 80s or whatever. They never evolved past it, and it kind of always, it seems dated, especially when you hear songs like this in the 2000s, and they're still doing, like, the, you know, an apple to a peach, a cherry to a plum, yeah, won't stop rocking till you all get some. Like, that's, like, 1979, like, which is fine. Like, that era is great, but, like, now you're doing songs, and you can't say we're still rocking till you all get some. Like, that's you can't do that anymore. That's, like, you know, beat break, like, on a cardboard box in you know, Brooklyn type rap, and we've moved beyond that, guys. Sorry.
Their style was never for me. I mean, there's a lot of 80s hip hop that I can get into, you know, like Kool Moe Dee, like,
yeah, yeah,
guys, mm-hmm, who aren't just yelling at you about being the king of rock.
Who?
You know, Big Daddy Kane, he's smooth. Rock him, he's smooth. Them, they're abrasive, they're annoying, they have an Adidas endorsement, they do Christmas songs that white parents love to blast because it's the one time of year that they'll play a rap song for you, unless like Rapper's Delight or something like that. Yeah. I would have really loved if this was an instrumental, because like we're just talking about earlier, there's some pretty cool elements to this. You know, it's not very far off, like you said, from the actual DX theme. It's just slightly remixed and made to fit more of a hip-hop groove, and they do certain things like stripping down the verse section, just having it be the bass line and the drums. Then there's also that cymbal crash kick drum intro, which they would later incorporate into the main DX theme,
yeah,
when Triple H and Shawn Michaels were running around with glow sticks. So that actually carried over into the actual DX theme, the little bum bum. So cool things like that, like Rich said, the intro, very cool. I wish there was an instrumental version of this, because I would listen to it a lot. This version, nowadays, probably not so much.
Yeah, at this point in their careers, there is increasing tensions between Run and DMC. And then a few years later, Jam Master Jay would be, you know, tragically killed he was shot down in the studio. So this is like, you know, not the highlight of Run DMC's career, I don't think, at this point in their careers in terms of personal relationships. But like you said, Chris, I think the beat's great. It's got that little like lone bass intro, that before it kicks in. So there's some good stuff in there, and lyrically, not that, you know, risque. It's Run DMC. You know, we mentioned this already. You know, the ball of the bounce of the ball. We're coming to rock you all. You get what you get. Well, we can talk about this till the cows come home, but I think we should move on to our next theme here. One that I think will pick our spirits up a little bit. This is a guy by the name of Viro the Virus, and this was used by Chris Hero on the Independent Circuit. And this is called, quite simply, Chris is Awesome.
Yeah. Chris is awesome. He's as hot as it get. The type to drop you quick with a mafia kick. Got the hunger of a young lion, plus the eye of the tiger. Pummel you like he's a young Tyson.
Again, I'm sure, Rich, you've heard this a bunch of times over the years. Ring of Honor, independent scene or otherwise. You know, Chris here are using this theme a whole bunch. He's all over the damn song.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the biggest problems, or I shouldn't say problem, but one of my things that I was most upset about when Chris Hero signed with NXT again is that I wouldn't be able to hear this song again. Like, because listen to it live, it's just perfect. It's an awesome song. It encapsulates Chris Hero right away. Like, you know his name right away. Because I took my nurse, the nurse wife, if people don't know, my wife is referred to as the nurse on this podcast network a lot. But I took her to a show once, and she didn't really know all the guys, and I kind of clued her in a little bit. Well, Chris Hero's theme comes up, and there's no way that you don't know, A, who Chris Hero is after the song is done, because then she went, well, that's Chris Hero, because I could tell, because it goes, it's Chris Hero, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's so obvious, it's like pointing to him, it's like, this is what he does, he's awesome, he knocks guys out, it's the most descriptive, like, wrestling theme I've ever heard in my life, but it does it in a way where it doesn't seem lame. Like, you guys sort of mentioned the Mr. Wonderful a few, and it does that in a very, like, lame way, but this is, like, an outlier. Hey, let's lay out everything that Chris Hero does, his moves, his mannerisms, what he does, what he's, the companies he works for, where he wrestles, all this sort of stuff, and he's awesome, and oh, by the way, his name is Chris Hero, and it's just like,
yes.
It works so well, and it's just an awesome theme to come out with, and he gets way into it, too. Like, I've seen the guy live, countless number of times, and every single time, he's singing the lyrics in his head, and bouncing his head, and really making you into the theme as well, and it just works perfectly for Chris Hero, and I'm so upset that we don't get it anymore now that he's obviously with NXT or whatever, but yeah, just an incredible theme. It just fits this guy so perfectly.
Yeah, he was very happy at the time when he got this theme made by Viral the Virus, and the background here is that Hero went to see GZA of the Wu-Tang Clan at a show in Philly, and Viral the Virus was opening for him, and they met that night, and they stayed in contact on MySpace back in the day, so they were sending messages back and forth, and Hero eventually asked Viral the Virus to do a track that he could use as entrance music. And before he could even give him the input as to what he wanted, Viro gave him the track back, and it had all of the stuff already in it, all the references, so he really did his homework. So Viro the Virus, a really super, super talented guy to be able to weave in all of the references, just to all of the different wrestling terminology and Hero signature moves and everything like that. It paints such a picture, and it's so signature to Hero, he just kind of did it all on his own. And Hero was very, very happy with this theme at the time. He did some postings online, which is where I got a lot of this background from, the background story.
The sample that was used for this song is by a composer by the name of Clint Mansell, who has done a bunch of different movie scores, one of which was the Darren Aronofsky film Requiem for a Dream. And this song that he used for the score, Lux Aeterna. That is like the most famous song to come out of this score. And if you've ever seen a movie trailer, you recognize this song. It's been in pretty much everywhere, since it came out. So for him to use this theme, for Viro to use this theme as like the backing of the track, it's pretty cool. Because it's like, it's got that epicness to it. It's a da-na, da-na-na-na, da-na-na. But it's laid over with the hip-hop samples and hip-hop beats with it. So it's not like, this movie trailer epic thing the whole time. It's got that cool factor juice into it, so it's a nice little pairing here of classic orchestral movie score, movie trailer epic thing with contemporary hip-hop beats to it.
Yeah, and if anybody ever, if you're into this sample and you're interested in other hip-hop that uses this, Joe Budden used it for his album The Escape Route. The first song, I think it's just called Intro, is another one that kind of flips the sample into a hip-hop beat, and he does a great job with it as well. But yeah, it's a sample that's been used plenty of times. It's a song that's been used plenty of times. If you have ever listened to the Voices of Wrestling podcast,
yeah,
we used to use that for our intro or whatever. It's because Requiem for a Dream is one of my favorite movies of all time or whatever, and it's gotten a little overdone now at this point because a lot of people use it because it's such a But I think that speaks more to just the importance and the depth of the song as well, and just what it does to emotions or whatever. And that's why it works so well in this Chris Hero theme, and works so well as a hip hop beat as well, because yeah, you throw a little bit of drums over it or whatever, and it can really take you to a special place. And I think it absolutely does with Chris Hero's theme. And the beginning of it too, I think, is an important part too. When Chris Hero, before he comes through the curtain or whatever, it's got that intro where it's just, you know, Hero, yeah. Hero. And it then like sort of, you know, to you, you're like, well, I better start chanting Hero, and like explain, you know, it never fails. Every single time people are like, well, let's all start chanting Hero before he comes out. And like, when you come out to people chanting your name or whatever, you know, you can't beat that. And Chris Hero got that almost every single night of his career for, you know, the last 10 years. So you can't beat that.
It also helps when you have a hook like, who's your hero? Chris Hero. Like, all right, five words, easy to remember. They're repeated often. Boom. Get the crowd invested even more so.
Going back to the sample, ROH actually had trouble getting it cleared for use on the HDNet show, because it's back when they were on HDNet. So they would use a version on TV without the sample. So it was just Viral's vocals and the drums. Didn't quite have the same drama.
Doesn't work, yeah.
Chris is awesome. He's as hot as it get. The type to drop you quick with a mafia kick.
But with the sample, with it all together, all the elements, everything about this theme, man, it's just perfect. And you guys you've outlined everything. The beat, the vocals, the lyrics. It's just is as authentic a slice of underground hip-hop as you're going to get for a wrestler, custom made. And it set Hero apart. We talked about the Kings of Wrestling theme by Cody Beware, and this was another example. Music, very, very clearly important to Chris Hero. He understands the importance of wrestling themes and how to use music in wrestling. And that's why he's always had great entrance music. He understands music. He understands how it affects and impacts a gimmick and the audience reaction and the atmosphere that you create in the arena. And even up to present day, his new NXT theme is great. And they brought back Cody Beware. And it's another in a long line of Chris Hero themes that I think really, really just encapsulate how much he understands wrestling and music and where they intersect.
Yeah, just go to Chris Hero's Wikipedia page and you'll get lost in, like, it's like half a page long of the amount of themes that he's used over his career. And you can tell this guy loves music and he knows music and he's knowledgeable about the type of music that he likes. So, you know, I'm sure when he got, you know, Viral to get him this theme song, I'm sure he was over the moon about it. And I made a list here of, I wanted to see how many wrestling references I could spot in the lyrics here, intentional or otherwise. So the list I have is Mafia Kick, Young Lion, That Young Knockout Kid, Rivera Cloverleaf, Hangman's Clutch, Hero's Welcome, KO, Hammerlock, Cravat, Rolling Elbow, Slobber Knocker, Grappler, Moveset, Suplex, Ring Generalship, Double Chicken Wing, Lucha Libre, King of Wrestling, Square Circle, Mule Kick, Number One Champion, Bell Rings, Ring Apron. So Viro here did his homework.
And deep cuts, too. It's not just like, just if I've only watched WWF or
Body Slam, Hulk Hogan. Yeah,
exactly. It goes pretty deep into this stuff. Like, Young Lion is incredible. I mean, that's a deep cut that means Viro's, you know, digging in a little deep, or, you know, he's a bigger fan than we thought, which is pretty awesome, too.
Yeah, when you're referencing Rivera Cloverleafs and Cravats,
right.
you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Viro the Virus, sadly, no longer with us, actually. He died in 2012. I haven't listened to a ton of his work, but he's done some awesome stuff with the Snow Goons, so that's some stuff to check out. Has a song called Rear Naked Choke that I really like. Again, sticking with the kind of combat sports theme. One of the best indie wrestling themes ever, I think.
Definitely, definitely. All right, moving on now to our next theme here. This was the theme for Montel Vontavious Porter, MVP, released on the album WWE Reckless Intent. This is our buddy, Silk the Shocker, back for another round. The song is called I'm Coming.
One, two, you hear the clock ticking. Tick, tock. You about to stop living. Tick, tock. I want you to remember me. Tick, tock. But the day don't have no memory.
I'm coming!
Nobody can stop me. Nobody can hold me. Nobody can control me.
I'm coming!
I'm here to do my thing. I'm here to bring the pain. I'm never ever gonna change.
I'm coming!
Nobody can stop me, nobody can hold me, nobody control me.
I'm coming!
I'm here to do my thing, I'm here to bring the pain, I'm never ever gonna change.
Like Tropicana, I got the juice.
all for the leash, they let the dog loose. Ooh.
Suck the Shocker. You mentioned last time, Chris. Suck the Shocker, he's decent. He's competent. He's okay.
I was being very kind last time.
Yes. He's okay. He can get the job done. He's not stuttering over his words. But he's not on that level that would wow anyone. And I think this song is item B here of not really wowing anyone. And... Rich, what are your thoughts here on Silk the Shocker, first of all?
Yeah, he's terrible. Like, Chris, how many live hip-hop shows have you gone to in your life? You've probably gone to quite a few, right?
Oh, no. I'm not a live show guy at all.
Oh, no. Okay, so have you been to any?
Nope.
Damn it. Okay, well, this people will get... If you've ever been to a live hip-hop show, I'm sure you've dealt with this. You've been in the music business or whatever. Silk the Shocker is essentially just, like, every single rapper that's walked up to you at a show and, like, given you a CD or whatever. Or been like, hey, man, you want to buy my CD? Like... I'm like, not really. And he's like, you know, or sometimes he'll hand it to you and you're like, cool. And he's like, yeah, that's like $2. You're like, ugh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, here's $2 or whatever. And then, like, you throw it away or you throw it in your car or whatever. And then somehow you discover it, like 2 years later. And you're like, ah, you know what? Let me see what this is. And it's just, like, the most generic fucking rap ever. And you're like, all right, like, I give this guy effort. He thought he was a rapper, but it's just, like, this stuff is just generic. It's just generic as hell. And that's Silk the Shocker. Like, the more I listen to him and the more I really listen in, and particularly looking at these lyrics, it's just like, dude, this is like bottom barrel, like entry level, like hip-hop here. And it's just it's to me, it's like insulting, because it's like, you're Silk the Shocker, like you've gotten a lot of breaks in this business or whatever, and like you've done nothing with it. He's the damn Cody Rhodes of like hip-hop. It's like, now he comes with these fucking 2.5-star matches, and it's like, bro, like, come on, like, put a little effort into this. Let's go, like, let's do this. And it's just like generic ass, like it's whatever. He just scribbles his name onto some shitty, you know, CDR and hands it to you in a jewel case at a hip hop show. And you're like, this is garbage. Like, this is terrible.
Rich, I cannot wait for Silk the Shocker to tweet out that you're just mad that he that he wouldn't sign your mixtape at a show. Yeah. In some obscure location.
Davenport, Iowa, or something like in a Cracker Barrel in Davenport, Iowa, or something like that.
The Cody Rhodes of hip-hop, Silk the Shocker.
Like, is my made man, or I forgot what it is. Like, I remember I used to really love No Limit Records just because the awesome album covers, but then always listening and being like, ah, these aren't very good, are they? So, like...
He really is the Cody Rhodes of hip-hop, even down to just being related to prominent people in the industry. Right. How does this guy get so many breaks in wrestling music, you know? Especially, MVP hated this theme.
Thing is, on the album, Reckless Intent, I looked this up, this song wasn't attributed to MVP as his theme on the album, because this album came out before MVP debuted. MVP debuted in August of 2006. This album came out in May of 2006. So on the album was just the song by Silk the Shocker. Same with This Fire Burns by Killswitch Engage.
Yeah, because Randy Orton used it for a while too.
Yeah, oh yeah, like 2 whole weeks, I think.
I wish Randy Orton used this for 2 weeks.
Yeah, this song wasn't attributed to him as MVP's theme. They just gave it to him. And I think I looked this up as well. And this is on Wikipedia. Take this with like a silo of salt here. This was originally, supposedly, meant for The Boogeyman.
What?
Think about it. The ticking clock.
What?
The ticking clock. The I'm coming to get you. The catchphrase. Remember that?
Okay. All right.
Makes no sense otherwise. Believe you me, makes zero sense. But that's what's on the Wikipedia page, at least. And those two things, the ticking clock that he smashed over his head, his catchphrase, I'm coming to get you. The song is called I'm Coming. But I don't get it either. But in that sense, I can sort of see it.
The Boogeyman is nothing if not fly like a pelican.
The one like Neo, cocky like T.O.
Cocky like T.O. too, yeah.
I understand, you know, the ticking clock, I'm coming. I understand that. But my God, these verses and the Boogeyman. What? Like, oh, wow. I really hope that's true. But to be honest, this really doesn't have much to do with MVP either. I mean, I guess you could say it's just kind of generic braggadocious rap. But when you're bragging is this dumb, it's just very counterproductive.
Yeah, well, the character at the time, he was coming in as this like big free agent. The gimmick was like a high-profile sports athlete type of thing. You know, the largest contract at SmackDown history. You know, he had that big press conference on SmackDown. So it makes sense to be this bragging type of guy. But yeah, otherwise, there's no references to MVP. There's no, like, you know, I'm the MVP in the song. You just get, like, you know, like Tropicana, I got the juice. Offer the leash, let the dog loose. When you're starting it off with that, you don't, high hopes are not in your future, okay? It's not, you're not starting off strong, to say the least.
Now, there's a line here that I always misheard, and until I was taking notes for the episode, I always thought it was, I'm the one like Neo, cocky like Tito. And I was thinking, all right, so my mind immediately goes to Tito Jackson. But I know that that is not what Silk the Shocker is referencing. So I was thinking Tito Ortiz. But then, Rich, you mentioned before we were recording that you thought this was something else.
Yeah, I don't know why. I must have had some odd vision in my head. But when I was listening to this, I thought he said cocky like teal. And I thought he was making a cockatiel reference, like the bird. Because he mentions pelicans like a line later. And I'm like, what is this dude's bird obsession? Like, I don't get it. And then I look at the lyrics. I'm like, cocky like teal. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. But yeah, I like this idea of him like cocky like a teal. So, like, you know, doing a deep cockatiel reference. But then I realized Silk the Shocker probably has no fucking clue what a cockatiel is. So,
you know, I'm all in on bird watcher Silk the Shocker.
Right. I shouldn't assume that he doesn't. I shouldn't assume that. He might be a birder. I don't know. Yeah.
Could have done a track with the bird man.
You know, you're right.
You mentioned Chris last time, Elena Jordan's theme about this whole thing. Silk does, he tends to squeeze in an extra word or two into his lines.
Yes.
Makes it a bit awkward. The line I noticed right away, no doubt, yeah, I'm a veteran. The next line is, and when done, you go and think you got ran over by elephants. That's way too many syllables in that one. Not to mention the lyrical content, if you will.
Well, that aside, that's a line that I used to record a lot of rappers in high school. That's a line where I'd be like, all right, let's take a few minutes and rewrite this line here because you're doing too much. You're trying to fit too much in. Maybe even let's just scrap the line because it sucks. This could have benefited from a little bit of better production working with the vocals. Mm. And you know this was a big Jim Johnston production too, because just listen to those guitars.
Oh yeah.
Listen to those guitars. They're right up in there. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we'll encounter in any Jim Johnston hip hop theme. He's got these big booming metal guitars just right up in there because mm-hmm. that's apparently what he thinks that hip hop is. It's a reflection of him. But even Jim Johnston, I'm sure he could have suggested a better line than, and when you done, you gon' think you got ran over by elephants.
And I was going, as you were kind of talking about that, Chris, I was going through other Silk the Shocker songs just to see if, maybe, you know, he didn't bring his A game for the WWE, maybe he didn't like working with Jim Johnston or whatever, so.
Maybe an off day, you never know. Could have had a headache or two, perhaps.
Right, exactly, yeah. He's just fucking horrible. This is from Make Him Say the, you know, the famous Master P song.
Oh, yes.
And the last verse is Silk the Shocker's on here. Here's some great lines from him. Obviously, he starts off the verse saying, P gonna make him say I'm gonna make him say ow. I stay on like light switches, money, cause I like riches. After I bust your shit, then after that say na 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 na. Then they wanna know if I gangbang, cause I hang with a whole gang.
Alright, lazy writing. I've got there's a whole slew of lines here in a row. He rhymes the word boy with boy. Like five lines in a row. Yeah, she want a bad boy, and I'm all about my cash, boy. You see me all up in the Jag, boy. I know that make you mad, boy, but don't make me beat your ass, boy. Come up with something else! Right. There's more than one word that rhymes with boy, and it's not boy!
It's like when Snoop Dogg just started to put Izzle at the end of everything. Just yeah. To make everything rhyme.
Lazy writing.
Or yeah, the juvenile. The juvenile is what I like to call it. Because like, he's got Ha, obviously his famous song where he just, you know, says a lyric and then goes Ha at the end. Or, you know, Back That Ass Up where he just goes, you know, Ah after every like line. Because it's like, I'm just going to say whatever I'm going to say and then I'll wrap it up with Ah and you're good. Like, that's all you guys need.
I just like to point out one more thing. Something that one of my friends in high school found fucking hilarious. You know, the hook is, I'm coming. Nobody can stop me. You know, whatever. But then, at the end of that first hook, right before the first verse comes in, there's just this horrible, horrible scream. Ah!
Ah, yes.
Never ever gonna change like...
My God. I really hope that we never, ever, under any circumstances, have to talk about Silk the Shocker again. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if I decide to be a glutton for punishment and suggest that we cover the No Limit Soldiers run to WCW. Really wouldn't surprise me.
One day it'll happen, I'm sure. But until then, let's move on now to our next theme. This is another independent scene theme. This is Claudio Castagnoli's theme. This is by Jermaine Dupri, Nas, and Monica. You can find this one on the Big Mama's House soundtrack. And this is the instrumental of I've Got to Have It. Okay, so as a huge, huge Peter Gabriel fan, it would be pretty, you know, wrong of me to not just say right off the bat here, Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel. That's all the song is. It's just a hip-hop-ified sample of Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel. So it's not, without the lyrics, it's kind of monotonous as well. But I guess I'm a big Peter Gabriel fan that I just like group to it no matter what.
Yeah, one of the stories about this song, and the big reason why I wanted to do this is I was at a Ring of Honor show with my my boss at one of my old jobs or whatever, and we come to find out, like, this is some weird thing where he didn't know I was a wrestling fan, and I didn't know he was a wrestling fan for, like, a year and a half when I worked there. And, like, I went to his computer screen once, and he was watching, like, some ladder war or whatever, you know, Ring of Honor, or it was the Briscoe's ladder war or whatever, and I'm like, what the hell? I was like, I was at this show, and he's like, I was at this show. We're like, oh my god, we go to Ring of Honor, and then, like, we became best friends after that. But, you know, he's obviously a little older than me, being the boss at my other job or whatever, so he's maybe, you know, got 20 years or so, I would say, on me. And there was one time where Claudio Castagnoli came out, and, you know, we're grooving to the song or whatever, and I'm like, you know, someone asked one of the other friends in our party, was like, hey, what song is this? And we at the same time say completely different songs. He says, oh, it's Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel, and I say, no, it's I Gotta Have It by Jermaine Dupri or whatever. And we had this argument, I'm not kidding, for like weeks on end, where I was like, no, it's I Gotta Have It by Jermaine Dupri, and he's like, no, I'm telling you, it's Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel. Like, we just wouldn't end, man. And it was just like, essentially, like, he was the Peter Gabriel fan and I was the hip-hop fan. I didn't know much about Peter Gabriel and he didn't know a thing about Jermaine Dupri or whatever, and we were just like too bullheaded to agree that the song was just a sample of the, but like, he was like, no, it's Sledgehammer. And I'm like, no, it's definitely Jermaine Dupri. There's like a little bit of a, and it was like one of those Vanilla Ice, you know, trying to defend his sample things. I'm like, no, listen, like, there's a little bit of drum, like that extra drum makes it Jermaine Dupri.
It's not da-na-na-da-na-na, it's da-na-na-na-da-na-na.
It's not the same bass, you know?
I was like, yeah, I was like, listen to that, that's Jermaine Dupri, I'm telling you. And it, like, we just went on, and I think we still had this argument too, and it's the greatest, one of the big reasons why I want to choose this one, because it is, yeah, it's Sledgehammer, but it's got a little, there's a little tick here and there that makes it Jermaine Dupri, so that's always one of my great stories about that.
Sledgehammer has been sampled a million times, as of course it has. Most notably on Pop Goes the Weasel by Third Bass.
Oh, yeah.
Jermaine Dupri. Now, listen, Jermaine Dupri, he's funny to me, because he's like 4 feet tall, and most of his beats sound like they were made for the Easter Bunny. Like, if the Easter Bunny rapped, I could imagine that he would rap over What Da Hook Gon' Be by Murphy Lee. So besides that, Jermaine Dupri, the owner of So Def Recordings, which is a big, big label in hip-hop and R&B, I'm not entirely sold that he produced this himself. More than likely, it was Brian Michael Cox who gets the co-production credit. Jermaine Dupri is one of those producers at this point where it's like, he'll move a fader and he'll get the production credit. Much like a Puff Daddy or someone like that, or P. Diddy or whatever the hell he's calling himself these days. But yeah, this is a fun little theme.
Yeah.
It's fun. Claudio is fun. And listen, I love Claudio. He's one of my favorites of all time. I mean, you know that. And there's a great video of him at a Chikara show singing this theme with the crowd.
Yes.
And then in doing so, he walks backwards at ringside, trips backwards over the ring steps, and then he recovers.
Yes.
By uppercutting the steps. Now, let's see Paul White do that, all right?
Yeah, it's Peter Gabriel. It's New Wave era Peter Gabriel. This is off the album called So, which is the same album that had Big Time, which we talked about on the WrestleMania episode. So it's got those, you know, trumpets, got the bass line in. It's funky as all hell. It's a big groove. And it's got those, you know, those hip-hop swirls in it, those
shakers.
Yeah, shakers. Thank you very much. Claudio, at this point, is very much indie Claudio, not the, serious, you know, rugby player, obviously Cesaro guy, not the real American. This is a different side of Claudio. This is a more fun side. And for him to have this song, it's very appropriate for him to have it.
He's got
to
have it, if anything.
He's got to have it, yes. Yeah. One more thing here. Jermaine Dupri, any relation to Renee, by any chance?
I think so. I Can't confirm or... Yeah, no, I think so.
I think they're like third cousins, four times removed or something
they
like that.
They gotta be. If you've ever seen them next to each other, the resemblance is obvious.
They look just alike. Right. 4 foot Jermaine Dupri, you know, like 6 foot, you know, Rene Dupri with his... That weird tattoo on his chest that he's got, you know... Exactly alike.
I mean, I can't stress enough that Jermaine Dupri looks like he's in like third grade.
Yeah.
Jermaine Dupri is like 55 years old and he still looks like he's like 18. Like,
Jermaine is like no taller than Little Bow Wow. they're like the same height. Little Bow Wow was like 8 years old or something like that. Like,
yeah, at the time.
They
yeah.
barely, like, Jermaine is like barely taller than him. So, very, very little man is Jermaine Dupri. So, yeah, that was Claudio's theme. I've got to have it. Move on now to another instrumental theme, this one used by Kenta in Pro Wrestling Noah. This is by T.I., this is off of the album King, and this is What You Know. Rich, you chose this one as well. Obviously, you know, we're all big Kenta fans. Why did you choose this one?
Yeah, I think because there was quite a few, and we had, you know, thought about the... Because Kenta and Noah, and that's one of my favorite things about, you know, growing up and watching Kenta in Noah, is that, like, he would come out to these just awesome hip-hop instrumentals and hip-hop songs all the time. And it was, like, such... I mean, when you're watching, like, mid-2000s Noah, having this dude just come out to some... booming rap song, it just feels completely different than everything else that was going on in Noah. And Kenta was unlike anything else going on in Noah or anything else going on in the world in wrestling, so it just worked real well for him, and it worked really well with kind of the motif of what Kenta was or whatever. But I thought this theme in particular was just synonymous with big time Kenta matches, and I don't know why, but, you know, I went back and I listened to all those ones that are listed as his themes in Noah, and it was like this one that I was like, nah, this is Kenta. Like, for whatever reason, every time I hear this song, I think Kenta. Anytime I hear the song driving, you know, if someone's listening to it in a car next to me, I think Kenta. Every time I've heard it in a you know, a trailer, a movie trailer, or anything like that, or a highlight video on YouTube or whatever, I always think of Kenta. I just, for whatever reason, this song and Kenta are just synonymous for me.
Kenta has had some really, really awesome themes. My favorite of which actually was the instrumental of the old Rey Mysterio Jr. theme by Illharmonics. He used that in ROH. I really love that one. But, you know, this one's really great too, and this was produced by DJ Toomp, who was a real big producer at that time and really, really instrumental in kind of creating the trap music sound that was in the mid-2000s, very different from the trap that we have today. So produced by DJ Toomp along with Wonder of Rio on some keyboards. And musically, there's not a whole lot going on here. It's that main synth melody, which is kind of an interpolation of Gone Away by Roberta Flack. Along with I Believe to My Soul by Donny Hathaway. Oh, baby. So besides the sample and that main kind of melody, which is what everyone knows, pretty straightforward, simple, mid-2000s trap-style hip-hop. That version of trap that was more soulful and a little bit more derivative of soul music as opposed to what we have today. But yeah, I love that Kenta was kind of, like you said, Rich, a bit subversive in his selection of entrance music, especially at the time. You know, now he comes out to the CFO's instrumental metal that really doesn't seem to have that much to do with him at all, and it kind of makes me wish he had a little bit more input now, because I would love to hear, especially with what CFOs did for guys like Nakamura and Chris Hero, I'd love to see what they can come up with in this vein.
Yeah, they might not even know that he's like this big of a, like, all right, Japanese guy, here's your Japanese theme, and he's like, all right, like, I love 2000s hip-hop, but all right. Like,
you mentioned subversive. Here's why I think Kenta and hip-hop in general works. Think of the classic All Japan Noah themes. You know, Misawa, Spartan X, Kobashi, Grand Sword, Kawada, Holy War. These big, epic themes from the 90s. All in the vein of, you know, classic arena rock, focused a lot on guitars and big keyboards, and just gives off the epic superhero-type vibe. Then here comes the next generation, Kenta. He doesn't have those big epic arena rock themes. You know, he's got DMX, T.I., Twista, Waka Flocka Flame. What better way to distance yourself from the old guard and come across as this hip new thing, this next generation of Noah wrestler, this next generation of Japanese superstar, than to go in a completely different direction by using hip-hop themes? It's genius, because you can look at it in two ways. If you're a fan of hip-hop, Kenta is this cool, hip young guy who has awesome theme songs. You can connect with him, you can relate to him, you can support him 100%. If you're not a fan of hip-hop, if you're a fan of like the old school, classic All Japan Noah themes, Kenta is this brash, arrogant, cocky little shit who has no respect for the old guard, and you want to root for, you know, Kobashi and Misawa and Taue and Akiyama to beat the shit out of him. It's perfect way of using music to shape the narrative of a wrestler. Kenta is either this cool hip guy or he's this cocky, you know, brash little snot-nosed little shit who wants to, you know, disrespect the old guys. That's why I think Kenta and hip-hop, they work so well together. Especially old Kenta, no smiles, no, you know, no happiness. Just beat the piss out of you nonstop. Kicks, go to sleeps, busaiku knees. Just that classic, you know, Fury Kenta that we all love.
That's a great explanation. Yeah, you nailed it right there. That's about all I could say.
It's kind of like when they would have Jim Ross on commentary tell us that John Cena is the new school, he's hip-hop, and Triple H represents the old school traditional wrestling, except obviously, in this case, this is much cooler.
Yeah.
And like, imagine if, you know how Shibata really clicks with Western audiences today? Imagine if, you know, mid-2000s Kenta would be exposed to Western audiences today. God. Could you imagine how people would go nuts over this guy who just comes out, just fucking murders people, and walks out to really awesome hip-hop songs? People would fucking love it.
But we got Hideo with Tommy, which...
we don't got that. We got... It's sad, obviously, to see where he is now versus what he used to be. What can you do? It just sucks.
We gotta get this mood back. This is not good.
Listen, we'll bring it back. As Noah has shown us, it is possible to be reborn, and maybe okay. One day Kenta will be reborn.
Yes.
If you say so.
Me personally, this next track, I am pumped to talk about this one. This is like my favorite track, not only on this little list we got here, this might be my favorite wrestling hip hop theme ever. This is Mark Henry's theme by 3-6 Mafia. Off of WWE Reckless Intent, Somebody's Gonna Get It.
Whoa, hey, yeah, whoa, hey, say what? Hey, whoa, 3-6 Mafia, hey, step up, bring it.
Love this so much. So much, so many great things about this theme song. It's catchy as all hell. You don't need to know all the lyrics. You sing along to the chorus, you know, somebody's gonna get the ass kicked, somebody's gonna get the wig split, or you can just do the whoa, hey, whoa, hey, but doesn't matter. The music is just pounds you from start to finish. You got the hand claps, you got those signature Jim Johnston guitar and hip hop combination. Got those little piano notes, got the doo, 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 doo. It's just driving and strong the whole way through. And also number three, it's Mark fucking Henry. It took him a little while to get going, but once he came to like the Hall of Pain stuff, this song like just took him to a whole another level. It's just so fucking, oh, I love it so much.
This song has a soft spot in my heart because my buddy and I, we used to do this thing where we would, if we're ever at a bar, like, and you guys know those touch tunes things that they have at bars or whatever, if you look those up and you look up, for whatever reason, my friend and I once were like, hey, what WWE themes do we have? Like, let's clear this bar out as quick as we possibly can by playing wrestling themes or whatever. And, like, there's not many. There was maybe, like, four or five in this one touch tune we were at. So the one we were at was not particularly, they probably don't listen to much hip-hop on this touch tune, I'll just say that. predominantly a certain demographic that seemed like they would not really enjoy the hip-hop all that much. So we decided, you know, we played some songs here and there or whatever, and then we were going to leave. And I was just like, you know what would be the best thing ever? Let's go to our car, because you can, if you have Wi-Fi, you can go to your car and play, like, Touch Tunes that are nearby. So we went to our car, he threw on his Wi-Fi, and he bought a bunch of Touch Tunes credit or whatever, played this song, like, 7 straight times at this bar, and I cannot imagine what this bar was like, listening to Somebody's Gonna Get It, like, 7 straight times. Like, A, I don't think they want to listen to one hip-hop song ever, let alone one about, like, kicking asses, and, like, one that's definitely not, like, a really good, it's, like, it's not a song either. Like, this definitely sounds like a wrestling theme, because there's a lot of repeated verses, a lot of repeated lines or whatever, which worked perfect for wrestling theme, but for a song don't work very well, and I imagine did not work very well 7 times in a row at this particular bar. But that's it's always had a soft spot in my head. And then now we go to, like, bars and we'll play it right away or whatever, and just, like, watch people, and, like, people always, like, there's, like, 4 or 5 people that just, like, immediately get, like, uncomfortable or, like, kind of move around in their seats, like, go to the bathroom, go out for a smoke, like, kind of just weird, and they're always just, like, looking around, and we can tell they're just like, who's playing these wrestling themes? And Hogan's Real American is on the Touch Tunes as well, which is always a good one to play at a bar, because people do enjoy that one, though. People do, yes. Especially White America gets up for a Real American.
Racist so, people, yay. Yeah.
Right, if you want to lighten the mood after Somebody's Gonna Get It, Real American does a fantastic job, let me tell you.
Yep.
You know, I hate to say it, guys, but the novelty of this one has worn off for me, sadly.
Boo!
Oh, no.
And I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what
it is.
You're
gonna get it. You're gonna get it, Chris.
Let me explain myself here, all right?
We're gonna beat you up. We're gonna break your neck.
You know, I could edit all that out.
Damn it. He's right.
let me explain. Much like Hideo Itami is watered down Kenta, this song is watered down 3-6 Mafia. And watered down 3-6 Mafia might do it for most people, and that's, hey, listen, if it does it for Andrew Rich, then I'm very glad. I'm very happy.
Yeah.
If it does it for the audiences in wrestling arenas, I'm very happy. But to me, this is not the 3-6 Mafia that I know and love.
That's fair.
To really cap it off, you got the Jim Johnston heavy metal guitars.
Well, come on.
which is one of my things that, it's not that I hate it, but in every fucking hip-hop song this guy has ever touched, he has at least 2 layers of heavy metal, high gain rhythm guitars, which it's like, I don't know. Why do you insist on doing this? This is not what hip-hop is. If you could just, like, step outside of your own taste for, like, 2 seconds and just let 3-6 Mafia produce it. You know, DJ Paul could have laid down a tremendous beat for this. And I'm sure he was very much involved with the production, and I'm sure he did all the keyboards and everything like that. But man, as soon as you get in Jim Johnston's hands, it becomes something else. And it's like, as soon as you get a hot indie or international act in WWE's hands, they become Hideo Itami. They become what Shinsuke Nakamura is right now. And it's much the same way where when you get 3-6 Mafia in WWE's hands, in Jim Johnston's hands, it's just watered down. It's not the same, you know? When I listen to 3-6 Mafia, you know, I think of 3-6 Mafia, I think of One Hit a Quitta. You know, that would make amazing entrance music. But I'm not entirely sure if, you know, kids and parents in arenas would be ready for that. So this serves its purpose really well. I know a lot of people love this theme. I know I'm probably going to get some people calling me an idiot, which is fine. You know, I'm an idiot. But the novelty of this theme has sadly worn off for me.
Yeah, and Chris, I will defend you a little bit, because it took me a long time to know this song was 3-6 Mafia. I had no idea it was. I mean, it was probably, when did the song come out? What, 2006 or whatever? It probably wasn't until about 2009, 2010 that I was like, this is 3-6 Mafia? Like, I saw it come up on a YouTube, and I was like, no way, this is 3-6 Mafia. And it is hard to believe that it is 3-6 Mafia, and it does not feel like a 3-6 Mafia song all that much, in terms of the content and stuff. So I'll let you off the hook on that one, but you're absolutely wrong about this not being good. It's great.
Oh, I didn't say it's not good. It's just,
No, you're fair. You're fair. You're the number 3 wig splitter in this podcast, sir. All right.
Don't try to step, Chris, because you know you can't compete. Live by a replica, throw it in the street. I think I've memorized, like, most of the lyrics on here, which is very counter to what I usually am in terms of hip-hop. Like, I can't remember lyrics, hip-hop songs to save my life. This song, I think I've heard enough times where, and I like it so much that I think I can memorize it and see, you know, spit it back from memory. But like I said, Chris, it's not a perfect song. There are some, you know, some catchy lyrics here. I think the last verse especially, where multiple lines are rhymed with dog. You know, it's not the most, you know, creative thing in the world, but I think for what it is, just Mark Henry being a badass motherfucker and having lines like, you know, I never need but I could be scared of a man. I walk through this land like I run this. All right. Walk through this land like I run this land. Not okay. Land, run with land. Not a good one. But, you know, it's like, you know, talking about being the wildest man in the world and have no fear. It's, you know, the mean, the nightmare. Like, there's so much, like, good stuff that counteracts the bad, in my opinion. Chrissy, anything else to say about this?
I don't want to get piled up on here, so I've said all I'm going to say on Somebody's Gonna Get It, because I don't want Mark Henry to put me in the Hall of Pain.
So we move on now to our last theme of the episode. This is going way, way, way back to the 90s. ECW. This is the theme for New Jack and the Gangstas, him and Mustafa. This is off the album Murder Was the Case. This is Ice Cube and Dr. Dre, Natural Born Killers. Now I'll say this, New Jack, if you're listening, I love you. Got nothing bad to say about you. You're the man, lovely guy, keep up the good work. That's all I'll say about New Jack, because you're a scary man, you're very intimidating, you're the best wrestler ever. Guys, want to take this one here, please? Don't say anything bad about New Jack.
Yeah, you ever see his knuckles? Yeah.
Denzel's friend, yeah.
Oh, man.
Denzel's friend, yeah.
Listen, I'm not afraid here. I've never been all that enamored with New Jack. His style of wrestling is just not my thing. I'm just going all out on this. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, I've never really been a big fan of New Jack or the Gangsters or his style in general. It's not my thing. I know this may be sacrilege for some people. I know that NWA and Ice Cube as well are really, really big staples of hip-hop, and I've also never been really big on them. And I also find Dr. Dre to not be believable on tracks like this or Deep Cover, for example, because that's not him. That's not the type of person he is. And this song is just so... I mean, we'll go over the lyrical content, but this song to me... It's like the older I get, the less this type of stuff appeals to me in hip-hop. I don't want or need to listen to stuff like this, especially not now. But it can't be denied that the combination of this team and this song was absolute perfection at the time.
And I think that's really what's going to be most people's traction. If you were around when New Jack was and the Gangsters were doing their stuff on ECW in the 90s or whatever, this song just fits perfect exactly with them. Like, the first time you watched ECW, the first time you saw New Jack or whatever, the first time you saw him come with a shopping cart full of, you know, crap in the ring, and this song plays the entire time as he's kicking their asses or whatever, and like the crowd just going nuts, and you know, pans are flying all over the place. And I was like, yeah, I don't really like watching New Jack matches in 2017. You know, this song doesn't really do a whole lot for me in 2017, but goddamn, in 1997, if it didn't just work perfectly for New Jack, for the Gangsters, for what ECW was as well, just for everything they did with the song, I thought just fit perfectly with New Jack and with ECW and with that crowd, and just the first part of the song too, I think really works as well. We talked about, you know, at the top of the show about Homicide and how that first little wee, you know, really does it, like, oh shit, Homicide's coming. It was that way with New Jack too. It was like the crowd kind of knew, or they kind of sensed that, you know what, I think New Jack's going to come. Like, I wonder if New Jack's going to come. And it's like, you heard that first second, that wah, and it's just like, oh, shit. Like, here comes fucking New Jack. And, like, New Jack, yeah, exactly. New Jack fucking comes down to the ring with his, you know, shopping cart full of crap or whatever, and he just kills dudes. And, like, you know, New Jack's guy, who's, you know, maybe legitimately murdered multiple people or whatever. So it, like, you know, this song works perfectly for New Jack, works perfectly for the Gangsters, and works perfectly for ECW as well. So, yeah, when you break down the individual pieces of it, I'm right with you, Chris. You know, this song doesn't do a whole lot for me because, you know, listening to Ice Cube and Dr. Dre, like, I know that deep down those dudes aren't, you know, natural born killers and all this sort of stuff. Like, I know that that's not. But, you know, the beat kind of works a little bit for me. I enjoy the beat a lot. But, you know, knowing deep down the lyrical content, it's like, yeah, whatever. That doesn't do much for me. But... And like New Jack, he doesn't do much for me either, you know, in terms of in-ring wrestling, but the combination of these two guys in the 90s, and I think that's a lot of what ECW is too, and I think when people go back and watch ECW, and I'm guilty of this too, I went back and watched a lot of old ECW recently, and it just doesn't work, because it's a very much of a 90s product, and the song is very much a product of the 90s, and New Jack is very much a product of the 90s, so it's hard in 2017 to get the same idea of what... what that was like and what that felt like at the time.
You have to put yourself in the mindset of the moment. You can't watch those matches now and think, I think with like 2017 eyes.
Right.
You got to look at it as back then. It's like, you know, mid-90s. All this stuff is blowing up on the scene. ECW Arena is hot. You know, going running wild here. New Jack is beating the shit out of people with like chairs and, you know, diving on a guy's, like, blowing people's minds at this point. This song encapsulates the madness. This song is just so like crazy and energetic and madcap. It fits perfectly with, you know, New Jack coming out and just having these hardcore brawls, and especially like playing over the entire like match.
That was key. That's so key.
I can't even think of anyone else that does that. That's so unheard of. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like, well, remember when Sin Cara had the blue and orange light on his matches? Like, yeah. No one else did that, and it didn't work for good reason, but like...
Kane actually did that back in the day. Remember when he had the red lighting?
Yeah, the red, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right. The red light, that's good. Good call, Chris, yeah. But yeah, like in terms of like music playing over an entire match, like that is unheard of back then and nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because they were really telling you it wasn't a match. They were like, this isn't a fuck. This guy just is fucking coming out. He's going to hit you with a bunch of shit. This guy's not, you know, don't ring the bell. Don't worry about pinfalls. Like, don't worry about any of that shit. This guy's just coming out to kick your ass. And these guys are just coming out to kick your ass or whatever. So it worked so perfectly. And that's a genius of a Paul Heyman there, too. Knowing that, hey, let's do something a little bit different and play the song the entire time. Like, it's a very simple thing to think of, but it just, God, it works so perfectly for New Jack.
Yeah, you know, Rich, you said, letting you know this is not a match, and that's perfect. Like, New Jack was like world star right. Before there was a world star. It's like, this is a video that you would see, and it has a song playing out over it. And just the concept of letting the song play out, just so brilliant, and something that, yeah, you cannot replicate that today without it seeming forced or seeming derivative of this. You know, it might be a very long time before something like that ever happens again, if it ever happens again, because it's just so, you don't even think to do that unless you're parodying it, which has been done, I'm sure, a million times on the indies. But yeah, the whole concept of that, it just really kind of elevates the whole New Jack act, but it's just not something that I go back to and revisit all that often. Now, just to touch on the beat here, like Rich mentioned, it is a great beat, and it just screams crazy and wild. It has those wild keyboards, has a real fat, nice bass line. This song, actually produced by Sam Snead along with Dr. Dre, this was actually supposed to originally be just a song for Sam Snead called The Heist. Sounded a little bit different. When Dr. Dre got a hold of this, he, of course, put his touch on it, but he's another one of those producers where, at a certain point, he stopped basically producing and just kind of put his stamp on what other people were doing and what his in-house producers were doing. And this is an early example of that, working with Sam Snead, of, you know, of course, part of the Death Row label. But this screams Death Row. This is like, if you had to pick one song to just encapsulate that kind of Death Row sound, I think this would be it, or maybe Deep Cover by Snoop and Dre. This is just a wild, wild gangster rap track that I listened to today, and I'm horrified. And, and yeah, I don't know.
Mention a little bit of the lyrics here, just for a little bit here. There's a lot of pop culture references, as made note of by the Wikipedia page. Just some of them right here. We've got Mass Murder, Sarah Connor from the Terminator movies, Al Cowlings, you know, Charlie Manson, the Singapore caning from the 90s with what was his name, Michael Fay, you know, like Singapore caned, Jeffrey Dahmer, Kurt Cobain killing himself. They're all over the board here. A lot of different subjects at play. And I think something that is in common with a lot of them is, you know, craziness, killing, death, pain, suffering. Definitely for a song called Natural Born Killers, it works to reference all this stuff.
Yeah, it's just, as Chris sort of mentioned, the lyrics, they don't age very well. And, you know, gangster rap, if you're not into it, like, yeah, I don't really listen to this anymore. It's not anything that I really enjoy anymore. But man, as like a 10-year-old and 11-year-old or whatever, I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Like, especially when I knew this song before. And then, you know, I was kind of curious into wrestling. And then I see New Jack. And it's like, holy crap. Like, New Jack comes out to this song. And I remember that first moment of watching New Jack on ECW TV. And like, I already kind of felt like I wasn't supposed to watch ECW TV. Like, I never told my parents, but like we used to get it. Like my parents had a TV in their upstairs room that like got UHF channels for some godforsaken reason. So I was able to get ECW. I think it was on like Gary Indiana's network or something like that. So, but it would come out at like these really weird times, and my parents were like, "What are you doing up there at like 11 on like a Thursday?" And I'm like, nothing." And it's like I'm watching ECW, and like this dude's coming out and like killing people and stuff. And I'm like, "I don't think I was supposed to be watching this. Like, I don't think I was supposed to be doing this." And I think that was part of the fun for me a little bit, where now like I can watch this and I can listen to this, and it's you know, it's not as fun, but then it was like, ooh, you know, kind of turn it down a little bit because I don't know if I'm supposed to be watching this. Like, I don't know what this guy's doing. And this song very much is that too. It's just murder, death, chaos, things flying. Like the instrumental works too, because the instrumental's got like 17 different instruments going. It's just complete chaos the entire time. And for them to, you know, pick this particular song and say, yeah, this works for New Jack, and making New Jack, you know, work in this sort of style as well, was just the perfect harmony between a song and a wrestler. Almost the most perfect harmony I can think of, almost of all time, of a song and a wrestler. That just, it's just chaos, it's death, it's destruction, it's just madness. You know, the song and New Jack, it just works perfect.
And then you watch Beyond the Mat, and he's driving in a convertible with Barry Blaustein.
Yeah, yeah.
After being told that he's not Denzel, but he's Denzel's best friend.
Denzel's friend, yeah. It never came about. I don't know what happened to that. I don't know why those...
No. For some reason, New Jack's career never really took off.
Are they liars? Are you telling me these talent agencies might be lying to these people? This is ridiculous.
Oh, God. All right. Well, that does it for our hip-hop themes this episode. Rich, thank you so, so much for coming on to the show and talking. This was so much fun to talk about hip-hop themes with you.
Oh, thank you.
So thank you so much for coming on here. Plug away, sir. Plug away.
So obviously, voicewrestling.com, obviously where you're listening to this podcast. Voice Wrestling Podcast Network, look up on all of your podcast apps, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever you get your podcast from. Also, voicewrestling.com/forums, a really great message board. Definitely go on there. But yeah, I would say basically just voicewrestling.com. A lot of good stuff going on the website right now. A lot of good reviews. We're getting some new columnists in the shuffle as well. So check us out, voicewrestling.com. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, at Voices Wrestling. And I do most of my tweeting on there as well, at Voices Wrestling. So yeah, voicewrestling.com and the Voice Wrestling Podcast Network. There's a lot of really good stuff, including this podcast, but a lot of other good stuff on there too. So definitely check it out whenever you get a chance. And if you enjoyed this, give it some reviews. Give it some 5-star reviews, let other people know about it. As we grow it, things will get bigger and better. But I really appreciate you guys letting me on here. I'm excited about this,
and as always, thank you for letting us be a part of this fantastic podcast network and this website. It's really a huge honor, and we love doing this, so thank you for giving us a platform to do it.
Absolutely.
I concur 100%. And of course, as always, if you want to tweet at us, at Music of the Mat on Twitter, at Music of the Mat on Twitter. Chris, episode 12 will be our next adventure, and folks, this one's going to be a doozy. We are going to do an album review. And you know, Chris, as we get closer to July 4th, Independence Day here in America, I think it's only right that we take a look at the musical career of one of America's greatest patriots. He's an icon of wrestling, film, television, sex tapes, pasta restaurants,
Racism,
and for a brief shining moment in 1995, music. So say your prayers, eat your vitamins, lather up the Yappa Pie strap, and get ready. We're discussing the 1995 album Hulk Rules by Hulk Hogan and the Wrestling Boot Band.
Why are we doing this again?
We're doing this for two reasons. One, we love America. And two... Hear that? I got a copy. A friend of mine in California found a copy of Hulk Rules for 99 cents at Goodwill. He said, Andrew's a wrestling fan. He's a music fan. He's got this podcast. I'm going to send it to him. So a little while later, I open the mail. What do you know? Here comes a CD of Hulk Rules.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to find out if that 99 cent price tag is too high or too low. I mean, who knows? I've only heard one track off of this album. So I think we're in for a surprise either way. So stick with us.
Please stick with us.
Please.
Journey with us through this absolute red, white, and yellow craziness that is Hulk Hogan's album. With tracks like Hulkster's in the House, Hulk Rules, Beach Patrol, Hulkster in Heaven, and a bunch of others. It's going to be the best episode ever, but also the worst episode ever, depending on, you know, your frame of mind here. or perhaps both at the same time. So Hulk Rules, episode 12. Chris, thanks so much for joining me as always. Rich, thanks for joining us as well. I'm Andrew Rich, and remember, keep on listening.
Music of the Mat is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.